The following episode may contain inappropriate material. Listener discretion is advised.
You're listening to the PVD Cast with John Orlando.
John.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to another installment of the PVD Cast. And every single episode, I say that I am your humbled host, and I truly am humbled as we have reached a milestone in the history of this podcast, episode number 250. I gotta be honest with you, I'm absolutely shocked, flabbergasted, proud, excited, nervous, optimistic, just a range of emotions as I'm sitting here in this studio doing this introduction. I sit here and I think back 7 years ago, December 12th, 2012, when I first started doing this podcast and not really knowing what the heck I was doing. But nevertheless, I continued to work at it, learn, improve the PVD Cast to the podcast that you hear currently in your ears. And you know what? I'm not going to lie. There's probably more improvements that need to be made for the PVD Cast, and I'm going to keep doing that. And I'm going to keep putting out episodes because, the feedback that I get, people love hearing the PVD Cast. And you know what? Thank you to everyone who has ever listened to 250 of these episodes. I appreciate you checking it out. I appreciate you taking some time out of your day to spend it with me. I really honestly can't thank you all enough. I'd also like to thank all of the friends and colleagues who have supported me on this journey and will continue to do so. I've made so many great friends. I've had so much fun doing the PVD Cast that it's, again, just overwhelming emotionally for me as I sit here and chat with you folks here on this episode. And you know what? I'm kind of burying the lead a little bit because I have a great, great guest and I'll talk about him in just a few moments. But I wanted to throw out a couple of things that were happening last week since I took the week off to kind of work on this episode. Well, one of the things was I had the opportunity to appear on another podcast called Breaking the Fourth Wall. The host, Chris, reached out to me and asked me if I'd like to come on and talk about podcasting, and we did. The peculiar thing I found out before we started recording is that Chris used to be in the independent pro wrestling scene as well on the East Coast and out in the Midwest, like out in Denver. And so we started talking about that off air. So this episode of Breaking the Fourth Wall, featuring yours truly, we talk a lot about podcasting and why I got into it, as well as a lot of cool stories from my time in pro wrestling, as well as Chris shares some of his. It was an awesome episode. It was so cool. And I appreciate Chris having me on. I appreciate Chris offering to kind of rebroadcast the PVD Cast as well through his network called Realm of the Mist. And hey, if you want to check it out, just go to anchor.fm and look for, and this is kind of a little bit of a long web address, but go to anchor.fm/ROTM-ENT/Breaking the Fourth Wall Podcast, and you'll see the entire catalog for Chris and his podcast. Or better yet, just go back into my Twitter feed, and I've put out links to it throughout my tweets from last week and even earlier this week. And click it, listen to it, and enjoy it, because it was a super fun podcast to do, and I can't wait. I've already talked to Chris about coming on the PVD Cast and sharing more stories, so that's coming real soon. Also, I was featured in 614 Magazine. That's right. That was something else cool that happened last week. In the middle of August, I was contacted by a reporter for 614 Magazine and wanted to talk to me about my opinions and my insights into the independent comic book scene. Through that, I also mentioned a couple of other folks that probably would be a nice addition to the story. So this past Tuesday, September 1st, the newest issue of 614 Magazine has a big expose on independent comic books and Columbus, Ohio, featuring not only me, but also Michael Watson, Victor Dandridge, and Jeff Patrick from World's Greatest Comics. We're all featured in the article. So if you want to read it, it's available at newsstands, but you can also just go over to 614now.com and you can read it digitally if you'd like. I know you've all read the description of this episode. You know who my guest is. It is none other than one half of Harlem Heat, a former multi-time WCW Tag Team Champion, and of course, a 2019 WWE Hall of Famer. I'm talking about Stevie Ray. And I appreciate Stevie taking some time out of his very busy schedule to sit down and chat with me. And it's really an interesting episode because we do talk about wrestling, but we also end up kind of honestly going all over the place talking about other particular topics such as COVID-19, football, politics, sports, Stevie's radio show, his podcasting projects. It was kind of unexpected, but that's what I love about podcasting is you never know where you're going to end up in a conversation with a guest. So it's a great one. You definitely need to check it out. And with that, I'm going to get to a quick little bit of business. Of course, I'm talking about my sponsor, and then we're going to get to my conversation with Stevie Ray. And of course, I need to let you know that this episode is brought to you by World's Greatest Comics. They're located at 5974 Westerville Road in Westerville, Ohio. They have tons of comics from every single era, the golden, silver, bronze, or even current issues. They have graphic novels, they have toys, they have comic book supplies, various other collectibles, back issues, some really cool old books as well that might be a little bit pricier, but if you're one of those hardcore collectors, then you definitely need to check out their selection. So stop on over to the store and say hi to Jeff and all the fine folks over at World's Greatest Comics, or you could check them out online at wgcomics.com, or they're even on Facebook. Just search for at @WGComics, and no matter how you interact with them, please let them know that you heard about the store from me, John Orlando, right here on the PVD cast. So with that out of the way, I'm going to throw it to a quick break, and on the other side of the break, you're going to hear my conversation with Stevie Ray. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the PVD cast, and joining me today is a 2019 WWE Hall of Famer, one half of one of the greatest tag teams to ever step in the squared circle. Of course, talking about Harlem Heat, joining me, Stevie Ray. Stevie, how are you this afternoon, man?
Very good, man. Just hanging in there, man, dealing with the heat down here in Houston, Texas.
How warm is it today, if I may ask?
I don't know. I don't keep up with the numbers, man. See, like I got an overcast today, so that's a little bit better.
I'm going to start off and ask the question that I've asked, unfortunately, lots of people over this last 6 months or so. How is the COVID-19 situation in Houston, Texas?
COVID is no different here than it is anywhere else, I guess. You know, everybody's trying to be safe and everybody's trying to be careful, and things are slowly but surely, you know, opening back up, but dealing with it. And I guess it's like that everywhere, I guess. So we're no different here than anywhere else in the country, I guess.
Okay. All right. Well, as long as you're staying safe and all your friends and family are staying safe, I guess that's the best you can shoot for nowadays.
That's about it.
Well, you have lots of endeavors, and I definitely will get into them and we'll talk a little bit about them. But I want to ask you real quickly, going way back to your start in professional wrestling. From my research, you were trained by somebody that doesn't get a lot of accolades in the industry. You were originally trained by Cowboy Scott Casey, correct?
Yeah.
Do you have any cool stories of Scott Casey, and you know, maybe even tell the listeners what an impact he made? Because he's not a household name, but you know, he was really, really good. He was an amazing talent.
I don't know how many, you know, he was just getting in the business of training people when he trained me and my brother. So I really don't know what he did after that. Matter of fact, after knowing Scott for a few months of being trained with him, hell, I didn't see him again until 2018. I might have seen him once in between that, but other than that, I didn't see the guy again until 2018. So when you say what kind of stories, I didn't get to know Scott very long other than when he was training me and my brother, and I remember more of the advice he gave me more than anything else. And because we never hung around Scott other than at the training center. Never hung around him. And talked to him on the phone once in like 2004 on a radio interview me and my brother was doing. I think I might have seen him in Vegas once somewhere in mid-90s. I can't remember. And after that, you know, he inducted me and my brother in the Cauliflower Hall of Fame out in Vegas in 2018. That's really all I know of Scott Casey.
Okay. Could I ask what advice did he give you that you still to this
advice in the business as to how the business is, and you know, just getting you know the mental aspects of the business, how the business is, and how good it can be, how cruel it can be, how unforgiving it can be, things of that nature, you know. So those things are, because him being a mentor to us and training us, we took those things to the heart. So when we encountered those things in the business, we always remember what Scott Casey used to always tell us. Things about, you know, you can't look good in the ring without the other guy looking good in the ring. Things of that nature, you know, not being selfish in the ring. You know, how this business, you know, the psychology of everything. I remember that more than anything about Scott.
I'm going to ask, were you a fan of wrestling growing up?
Yeah.
Okay. Who were some
big,
of your favorites?
Big fan of wrestling. I mean, who wasn't a fan of wrestling growing up? If anybody said they wasn't a fan of growing up, I mean, what the hell did they grow up in a teepee somewhere? I mean, I really don't know. But, you know, as kids, you know, everybody, you know, and especially in the African-American community, you know, wrestling was a big thing growing up. I never had any aspirations to be a professional wrestler, but, you know, I'm a big fan of a lot of sports, and professional wrestling just happened to be one. By the fact that I ended up getting into it in my life was pretty ironic.
Well, how'd you get into it, if I could ask?
No, just going to a wrestling school, and I just wanted to go to wrestling school and train, you know, blah, blah, blah. I never had any aspects of becoming a Hall of Famer or, you know, record-breaking tag team and all this kind of stuff, man. I just wanted to try it out like I've tried out a lot of other things, and everything else is history, you know. Just kind of like had a follow the yellow brick road, and it ended up where it ended up, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So you mentioned real quick that you know, a fan of lots of different sports. And I know from doing research, you're a big football fan. Yeah. If you don't mind me asking, can you give your opinion on what you think is going to happen here with the NFL starting up in a few weeks and the current COVID situation?
I mean, I think the NFL will go through growing pains just like everything else. You know, this COVID thing, to me, it doesn't work unless it affects everybody. So it's got to affect sports in every way, shape, or form. It's, you know, some people have fans, some people won't have fans. I think, you know, a lot of people are perplexed by the mere fact that, you know, a country like the United States of America that's only have 340 million people are still dealing with this, and countries that have, you know, twice, three times as many people as we have are not dealing with it. So to me, you know, you're going to have to suffer from it, because I think that's what's been written in stone. It's going to have to touch everybody in every sport, because I honestly believe we live in a world where everybody right now is supposed to be afraid of something. So football is going to be no different, and they know that.
You know, I'm deviating from some of my notes. I just wanted to ask. So you said, in your opinion, that we all have to kind of be afraid of something.
Yes. We live in a fear world now. Everything has to be laid out for you to be afraid of something. If you're not afraid of something, then you are a threat to the establishment. So you have to wake up in some way, shape, or form, somewhere in the medulla of your brain, in the back of your brain, somewhere you are afraid of something. And if anybody doesn't, you know, these are things that I honestly believe. Then these are things I've honestly studied. So it is what it is, you know, and COVID is no different. Something. You're going to have to be afraid of something. When I was growing up, communism was preached that was the big fear to the United States of America.
Yeah, right.
You know,
right.
The Vietnam War was based on communism. taking over the whole world and a part of the world that nobody even knows exists. Now, that actually is supposed to make sense to someone. So 58,000 people died for what? They didn't stop anything because Vietnam is still a communist, one of the few communist countries left on this earth. So why did 58,000 United States people from the United States of America have to die for something that's still there?
I just got to say that that's a valid point. And I think that, you know, with the barrage of media that we have nowadays, too, that even makes things even worse.
Right. So when you say what's going to happen with football, the same thing happened with auto racing. Same thing happened with basketball, being in a bubble. Same thing happened with baseball, out playing in front of nobody, stuff like that. And the thing is, we have to have sports because sports helps us deviate from really what's going on in the world. And as long as you are transfixed on sports, you will never, ever care about what really goes on in this world. Just like Black Lives Matter, you know, Black Lives Matter, which I think is a good cause. But Black Lives Matter just comes out of nowhere. You could have did this 4 years ago when Colin Kaepernick was kneeling. No, you demagogued him. But now, because of the COVID thing, oh, let's see how all this works together now. So Black Lives Matter makes people focus on that. But at the end of the day, corporate Fortune 500 countries are buying into something. Why couldn't you have bought in it 4 or 5 years ago? Why couldn't you have bought in it 15 years ago? Why couldn't you have bought in it 20 years ago? Why couldn't you? Because now it's more prevalent to be out there because something is going on. Something is about to transpire. What it is, I don't know. But I'm just saying, people just don't make changes like that, especially Fortune 500 companies and major sports outlets, just because somebody said a slogan. Now you look at the civil unrest that's going on. Now, you don't think when they start saying Black Lives Matter, it was going to trigger what's already been triggered? The hand grenades are already on the ground. So what are you going to have? Civil unrest. Boom. Now we got it. None of this stuff happens by accident, bro. That's just my two cents.
No, no. I can definitely appreciate your honest opinions on that. I mean, in fact, one of the things, I'm going to jump ahead a little bit. I had some other questions real quick, but you are currently doing a podcast with Vince Russo entitled Black and White, where yes. you and he discuss a topic from two different points of view. Because yes. Obviously you see it as a black man in America, Vince sees it as a white man in America. So could you maybe just for the listeners, maybe give an example of one of the topics you touched base on and maybe give us a little insight into how you two discussed it?
Well, we try to discuss things as to exactly how you put it out there, depending on the topic, because culturally we are different. But from a human point of view, we got more in common than we have that are different. Mm-hmm. The thing is, people are just not honest enough to admit that, and people are not, you know, brave enough to dive into it and admit it. That is what's wrong with a country divided. Mm-hmm. Because you are so afraid. That goes back to what I'm talking about. If you go around your friends and you say, I give an example of, like I was telling Vince, you go to a dinner party, you and your wife, and the conversation is very, very racist and very, very bigoted. Are you going to be the one to say up and say, hey, look, I don't want to be at this party because that's wrong? Or are you going to go along to get along because you don't want to offend anybody in your circle?
Yeah. And I mean, that goes into, I believe, and again, just throwing it out there.
I mean, think about that.
Yeah, no.
Are you going to? Because that means right then and there, because you ain't man enough, you ain't brave enough, because I feel I might alienate people. But at the end of the day, if you're not that person that believes in that ideology, what are you?
Yeah, and I think political correctness to an extent sometimes hinders those honest conversations. I don't know. I don't know if you share that same opinion.
It all depends. You're looking at a guy that's not afraid of anything and anybody. I'm not built like that. I'm not controlled by, I won't let a political party control my thought. I will not let a religion control my thought. What I will let control my thought is what I've studied and what I know. So I don't have to go along to get along. So I'm not afraid if you like me or don't like me. I have a bad opinion of me because you can't step over the line and do nothing to me. That's the difference between me and most people. because I've seen it, I've lived it. So at the end of the day, well, I gotta vote Republican because, you know, this is what, you know, people with money do. Or I gotta vote Democrat because, you know, they're down for the black cause and blah, blah, blah. I don't give two shits about either one of them because I'm an African-American man in America. I want the best for me, my people, my community, politically. That's how everybody else that came over here on a boat and they saw Ellis Island, that's how they got their peace. I want my peace the same way.
Do you feel that the two political parties that we have, the Republicans and the Democrats, do you believe that they're all the same? They're no longer their separations. Okay.
Yes, they are. I don't think they ever were.
Really?
I don't think they ever were.
Okay.
Because Republicans used to be Democrats and Democrats used to be Republicans. How does that happen?
Good point. So that
a baby face used to be a heel and now a heel is a baby face.
Yeah.
See how that works? See how that works? This is a question that I ask a lot of people. And it just behooves me that 90% of the time I didn't know that. I'm like, I ask people a lot because I meet a lot of people. Hey, man, why are you so enamored with Donald Trump? They give me their analogies. And then I was like, well, why didn't you have that same outlook of him back when he ran for president before? And you know what the answer is? Oh, I didn't know he ran for president before. I was like, what? Okay. You know why you didn't know? Because he hadn't turned into Ric Flair.
Wait, I need to know this analogy. How has Donald Trump turned into Ric Flair? Please enlighten me real quick.
Okay, when he became the leader in the race from the Republican Party to be the president, the media is the one that put him out there. Everything that he was done was media driven. I pay attention to these things. A lot of people think, oh, Stevie Ray is just a wrestler. He did it. I'm so far from being a professional. Wrestling is just what I did to make money.
Okay.
I have been a history buff for years. I've been a military history buff for years. My older brother is a political science major that when I was a kid used to teach me about what politics and party and making policy was all about. Those are the things that really interest me, but I never talk about them with people. Not until I got a forum to start talking about it. Then people go, hey, man, I never knew you knew that. Well, it's not your fault. You grew up on the other side of the tracks and you look at all African-American men that are athletes the same way. That's how this system wants you to look at me. I don't blame you. But that's what I would tell people. And it's like, wow, man, I never thought about it. But going back to Donald Trump, okay, but when once he became the Ric Flair of the world, the kiss-stealing, willing-and-dealing, jet-flying son of a gun, boom, everybody jumped on board. I say, Donald Trump has a plane. What's on the side of it? Trump. He has his own plane, right? What was the name? What was the name of his book? Order the Deal. Deal. What was Ric Flair? Willing and dealing. You see what I'm saying?
Okay.
Kiss stealing. Remember Donald Trump say, hey, I grab him by the pussy. Remember that?
Yeah. Okay.
Just because I want to. Now, you put all that together. Okay. What do you got? You got a heel, brother, that everybody want to love, you know, the love to hate. Now, I'm the front leader in the Republican Party. He turned into Ric Flair, and boom, you got some damage done. When you were trying to be a regular politician, people didn't even know you ran. Because Mitt Romney came out of that. And what is Mitt Romney? People go, well, Mitt Romney, I love him because, you know, he's a Christian man and blah, blah. Well, no, he's a Mormon. Oh, okay. Well, no, that's not Christianity.
No, it is not.
It trips me out that people don't even know the difference between Mormonism and Christianity. I'm like troubled, brother. So now that's when I say you're more about the game, not the policy. Because if you really knew about what Mormonism was about, there's a little thing in there that says we believe in magic underwear. Would you still vote for a man that believes in magic underwear? I mean, it is what it is, bro. So that's why I say the things I do.
Okay. Help me out. Who should you vote for then?
I could give two craps who anybody vote for. Because at the end of the day, you're going to get the same thing. At the end of the day, you're going to get the same thing. Politics is ran by corporations. Corporations are about money.
So third party
candidates. Now, whatever crumbs come our way, at the end of the day, that's what you get. Now, as far as local politics, that's something different. But as far as big time, you know, the big boys, hey, if they leave you some crumbs, brother, you should be happy. Because I'm like this. Look at your life for the last 25 years. What has really changed? Other than wouldn't have changed with a natural progression. Like if we see all the technology that's coming forth, this, that, and the other. You know, things of that nature. But we see the economic crash of 2008, 2009. You see those things. You see people losing their jobs, their homes. You see gas go up to $10 a gallon. You see everybody that was doing good, all of a sudden everybody's doing bad. You know what I'm saying? That was under a Republican regime. Then the Democratic regime comes in. Okay, things start to change, but that's a natural progression too. So when you talk about how did the president make your life better that wouldn't have been better or status quo in the same way, whether he was president or not? It's going to be a natural progression. And these things, if you know anything about history, a lot of these things are already predicted years before they even happened. So did they know this guy was going to be president 15 years before it happened?
Third party, that's not even a good idea either.
I vote third party every year.
Okay. So that might be the way. If people really feel the need to vote, maybe they should research those candidates.
I think both parties should be abolished.
Really?
Yes.
Okay.
So now you don't have a separation between people. It's just the best man for the job.
Oh, okay.
Because once emotions get involved, you can't think with the true. Mm-hmm. You can't think with without some kind of bias. Because once emotions get involved, people look at political parties now like religion.
Absolutely.
And that's absolutely not. Is that good for America?
Nope. It is not.
Everybody knows there are two different systems that play a part in a meritocracy. One for the ones with and one for the ones that don't have. That's not constitutionally right. Mm-hmm. Not if you believe in the Constitution and the Bill of Rights. That's why a democracy is supposed to be the same all the way across the board. But we know it isn't. Not if you're really honest with yourself. We know it isn't.
I'm going to interrupt my conversation with Stevie Ray for just one moment to talk to you about World's Greatest Comics. They're the one-stop shop for all of your comic book-related needs. They've got single issues, collections, graphic novels, toys, back issues, collectibles, and one world-class pull system. So if you're afraid you might miss a single issue of your favorite comic, sign up for the pull system. When it comes in, they'll pull it and hold it for you until you stop by the shop to pick it up. So check them out at 5974 Westerville Road in Westerville, Ohio, or you can find them online. Their website is wgcomics.com, and you can even find them on Facebook, by the way. Just search for at WG Comics. And no matter how you interact with them, whether you go by the actual physical store or you interact with them online, please let them know that you heard about the store from yours truly right here on the PVD Cast. Can we go back to, you mentioned local politics. Can we go back there for a moment? You said that that's probably the place where you can make the most change, where you can make the most
impact. In your community.
Okay.
That I know because I work with local politics here in town where I live. Okay. And when you're trying to get something, but we are under the impression that we're still under this Caesar mentality. I think America is under a Caesar mentality. That somebody in the big office and the whole world changes. I've been around a long time, brother. I ain't seen it. But I've seen mayors help school districts here. I've seen mayors distribute things to help communities rise up in certain areas, whereas they can implement certain things for people in certain districts that lobby for those districts. And hey, we can hold your feet to the fire a little bit more because it's local. And you got to listen to us. You got to listen to us a little bit more because we help you get in office. And we have our representatives out there, you know, having banter with you on a weekly or monthly basis as to what we need in these communities, what we need here, so on and so forth, as it deals with just local politics. Now, how does that work when it comes to, okay, we got the House involved, we got Congress involved, we got you know, the Senate involved. We got this involved. Who they're loyal to? Who are you loyal to? Well, you got to be loyal to the party before you be loyal to the people. The people are always second.
Yeah, and that's where things go wrong.
I want to be a part of that winning team. But this all started back when you asked me about football.
Oh, yes.
Football is, like I said, this thing has got to touch everybody. It's got to touch everybody. And that's why on the news 24/7, they got a different person on the news every night talking about the coronavirus. Every night. Anybody that says anything different than what the mainstream media said, you are a kook. You are a lame brain. And you could be a doctor dealing with patients every day. But the mainstream media is not going to recognize you, brother, because you need to listen to us. And we got a different guy on 24/7. Yes, the coronavirus, yes, the president doesn't wear a mask at all. Some of the people got sick, I think it's going to be a second wave if nobody wears a mask and this, that. Okay, well, who getting rich off these masks? Somebody getting rich. Everybody on earth got to have one. Who getting rich off the mask, man? I want a piece of the pie. I'm just being honest. But you got to wear that mask. Well, the G7 mask, better than the G5 mask. Hey, dog, I'm dying over here, bro. What the? I'm sorry, man. I laugh about it. You know, this is serious, but I laugh about it, man. I'm sorry.
No, that's okay. You know, I think it's worn on a lot of us, you know, because you're absolutely right. You know, when this first started, we were told to do this. And then a few months later, we were told to do this. And I know it's unprecedented what we're going right through, but yeah, but still, there was kind of a little bit of miscommunication, a little bit between.
How can that happen? But I'm just saying, in a society in which we live in, with some of the most educated scientists on earth, how can you get, you know, it reminds me of the movie that my daughter, she really liked this movie. What's the dude's name? Vigor Mortensen?
Oh, Vigor Mortensen, yes, yes.
Yeah, he was like an ex, I guess, mob guy, but he moved to a small town. Do you remember that movie? I think
Is it called A History of Violence?
Yeah. Yeah.
Yes. Very good film.
Then he went back to talk to his brother, you know?
Yeah.
Because not him, was I guess another gang of guys. I guess they were Irish guys, Irish gangsters. And I guess they went back, tried to kill Vigor. He had to end up going back to his old city. And he was talking with, I can't remember the guy's name. He won the Oscar once.
Was it Ed Harris, maybe?
No, Ed Harris. Ed Harris was one of the guys that came to kill him, but he ended up killing Ed Harris. Well, he went back to where he came from, and his brother, oh, God, I can't think of the guy's name. But anyway, he was telling him how, you know, hey, you left us, and blah, blah, blah. And then the henchman supposed to get him from behind. And Viggo Morrison ended up, you know, killing both of the guys, and he runs out of the room. And his brother gets up and yells at the other guy and goes, how can you fuck that up?
Yeah.
Like they had everything laid out and you still can't kill the guy. Oh my God, that scene was so funny, if I can think of his name. He's a hell of an actor. But I'm like, this kind of pertains to what we're talking about to me. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? If you are a scientist, and a disease has been around since 1935. That's 4 years before World War II started. And you don't know if a pandemic breaks out, what you should do and what you should not do? I'm like Viggo Mortensen's brother when it comes to that. How can you mess that up? Because we were told, don't wear a mask. Then all of a sudden we were told, everybody need to wear a mask. This is the movie all over again, man. I'm sorry. That just makes me think of that. How does that happen?
That's a great analogy. I really do enjoy that analogy.
That's funny to me, bro. 1935.
1935 was the first COVID-19 or coronavirus period?
Coronavirus. So that means if scientists or doctors discovered this disease, that means it must have hurt someone back then. So what would be the way to treat it? You just go, oh, well, Dr. Smith, what do you think about this? It only attacked a few people. I got other things to do. Is that what happened? I don't know. I'm just asking questions, bro. That just freaks me out. Wet shop in China, in Wuhan, China. Oh, that means really going to mess the Russians up because the Russians border China. No. Okay, that means really going to mess those Indian people up. It's 1.3 billion of them. Really going to eat them alive. No. Well, can't get us because we separated by the Atlantic Ocean and the Pacific Ocean. So I know we all cool. No. What? Wait a minute. How does that work? I'm just asking questions. That's crazy to me.
All right, let's shift gears for a minute because I would like to. I'd like to get your. I'd like you to tell the listeners all about your radio talk show, Straight Shooting with Stevie Ray. It airs at 92.9 FM in Houston. Talk to us a little bit. How did this opportunity present itself to you?
Oh man, I've been doing radio for a few years.
Okay,
I've been a guest on radio stations around Houston for quite some time. A lot of people don't know, I actually wanted to go into radio when I got out of high school. Okay. I wanted to go into radio. So, but you know, your mind is moving so fast and so many different things happen at the time. But so I started doing sports radio years ago, back when I was still wrestling, actually. Mm-hmm. So whenever I was in town, guys would invite me out to sports and talk about sports and things of that nature. So it's just a natural progression. And it's really, really fun. I really enjoy it. Because it gives me a chance to talk about sports, but I'm a heel at the same time. You know, when I used to talk with sports announcers, I would just go on the radio to bury them, just to bury them and, you know, make them feel like they didn't know what they was talking about. Because, you know, I had no decorum whatsoever. It was straight promos, you know what I'm saying? You know, so we would talk about, I'll go on to bury Mike Tyson, I would go on to bury Floyd Mayweather and stuff like that and make the people, but the guys wanted me to do it because the people would call in angry. Or I would talk about, you know, football team or the baseball team or different people. And just me getting a chance to be a heel and talk about sports at the same time. And people just loved it, you know. And they just didn't know. I was just doing me, what we do on a daily basis. So guys would call and some guy here bought me on another radio station and like, hey, can you come down to AM 610? Yeah. Well, what do you think about the Houston Texans, you know? You know, and I'm like, well, I think the Houston Texans, I think everybody should be let out to Galveston Beach and a wave hit them all. You know what I'm saying? That's a big wave hit them all down in Galveston Beach, you know? And I think the Texans might wake up, you know? Things like that, you know. So guys were like, oh, what do you mean by it? You know, blah, blah. I was like, come on, man. You can't slap a guy. That's against the law. So if you put him in high water and a beach wave hits him right in the face, he might wake up and start playing a little bit better. So, you know, and, oh, man, then you get all these calls. Stevie Ray, blah, blah, blah. Then I would get on the people calling in. You know, the people calling in. So it was like, and the producers, the whole studio would just be dying laughing, you know. So they just, you know, that's what pro wrestlers do. You know what I'm saying? We do promos off the top of our heads. We train for that. So I did it one time, and it's been running rampant ever since, man. So that's how I got into local radio. And I enjoyed it. I really enjoyed it. And I really enjoyed it to this day. I really enjoy it.
Excellent. Well, I have, before we start wrapping things up, I have two more wrestling-related questions that I'd like to ask.
That's good. That's cool.
Do you have any stories or any memories that you would like to share of Sherry Martel, who's one of the greatest women wrestlers and managers of all time? Do you have any cool stories or memories?
Sherry was a true professional. Sherry was a true professional, and we were really honored to have her with us at the time because it worked so good. And by the fact that she had been in the business for a while, she was another person that, you know, gave us great advice. I remember the advice on certain things. And, you know, she would watch our matches from being outside and tell us what to improve on. What we should do better, you know what I'm saying, as far as, you know, just the whole metaphor, what we're trying to put out there. She understood it more than most. And I remember that more than everything, just her wisdom and knowledge, man. Whatever we came up with, she was like, oh, yeah, I'm down for that. Yeah, let's do that, blah, blah, blah. That's the part of professional wrestling people don't know anything about is the craft. Mm-hmm. You know, just the craft and trying to make the craft better. Because I was having on my radio show yesterday, and we was talking about how certain people don't get it's about, you know, like I think Antonio Brown's name came up, and I said, that guy got some of the best, he's one of the most talented people to ever put a uniform on, but he's not about the team. And if you're not about the show or the team, you just lost. Mm-hmm. And that's the thing with Sherry. It was always about how we can make our opponents look better and us look better, which makes the show look better. That's a lost art.
Indeed.
It's not drilled into people like it used to be drilled. And that's what I remember more than anything, those discussions after the matches, and we sit down and have our powwows and stuff like that. You know, I remember that more than anything, you know, after the match and we sit down, hey, you know, but hey, when you get ready to do this way now, I think it'll look better. Or when you get ready to do this and when y'all did this, oh, that really look good. Do that more. Things like that. Mm-hmm. I remember those things more than anything. All the other crap is just scenery for the public. Those things are near and dear to my heart because they made me not only a better wrestler, but a better person.
Cool. Well, my final question is one that I've had for many, many, many years. Because I'll be quite honest, as a junior high school student, I remember watching yourself and your brother compete in the GWF. Uh-huh. And then within a short amount of time, you were in WCW. And WCW right. renamed you to mm-hmm. Cole and Kane.
Right.
Why'd they do that? Any ideas?
We hadn't got the clearance legally. From Global.
Okay.
Global still, it was something with legal. That's all I remember. It was something with legal. I can't remember specifically exactly what it was. But after that got cleared up, then we were Stevie Ray and Booker T again. Okay. Yeah, but it was something with legal. You know, this is trademark, copyright. You know how that stuff goes. Television, you know, so. Yeah. It was what it was. And with WCW, if everything wasn't 100% clear, 100%, mm-hmm. you know what I'm saying? The show must go on. The show must go on. So it was just one of those things. And I think I think we were Kane and Cole for, I don't know, not even a year. And then we were able to use the Booker T and Steve Ray again. Yeah.
Well, cool. Thank you for clearing that up because I've always, as a kid, like I said, watching you guys in GWF, and then when you showed up in WCW, I'm like, no, that's Stevie Ray and Booker T. Why has it got different names?
Well, we couldn't do the Ebony Experience either. It had something to do with the Ebony Experience.
Oh, okay. Okay, yeah, so that was tied in, too.
We wanted to, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, because we wanted to stay the Ebony Experience, which I wish we could have. But, hey, man, it all worked out, man. But, those are just personal. I wish we could have kept the Ebony Experience, you know. Mm-hmm. I wish we would. But the Harlem Heat thing got traction, and, man, it took off, man. So it was what it was. That's entertainment business, man. Nothing is cut in stone, man.
Well, Stevie, where can folks find you on the internet? You have Twitter, website, and any other projects you'd like to talk about?
They can find me on Twitter. They can find me on Instagram. They can find me on Facebook, The Real Stevie Ray. Find me on Facebook, Stevie Ray, the World's Most Dangerous Podcast, Straight Shooting with Stevie Ray. And that's the name of my radio show also, the World's Most Dangerous Radio Show, Straight Shooting with Stevie Ray, me and my partner in crime, Angel Corona. And that's what I'm doing. We're podcasting every night, Monday through Thursday, on Twitch / Stevie Ray TV. And that's what we're doing, brother. And that's what I'm doing. I'm trying to make a name for myself. Oh, man, I got some shows that's coming out, man, that's going to be on Patreon. Some shows that I'm going to be putting up little clips of on YouTube that's going to really blow people's mind, man. So I'm going to be doing more and more of it. So, yeah, I can't wait, man. So that's really I'm really excited about it.
All right. Well, definitely, folks, if you're listening to this, you know, check out Stevie Ray on Twitter, on Facebook, all of the social media, and keep tabs on him. Stevie, it's been a blast. Thank you so very much for coming on. I really, really appreciate it.
No problem, bro.
And with that, ladies and gentlemen, I'll throw it to a quick break. And on the other side of the break, I'll be back to wrap up the episode. Well, there you have it, ladies and gentlemen. Episode 250 is in the books. And I hope you enjoyed my conversation with Stevie Ray. And please check out him on Twitter, on Facebook. Check out russosbrand.com, which is where you can get Black and White, the podcast that Stevie does with Vince Russo. And as a side note, there's lots of interesting wrestling-related podcasts on that website, russosbrand.com, once again. And thank you so very much, Stevie. I can't say it enough for sitting down and chatting with me. Now, maybe you'd like to comment on this episode, or quite frankly, any episode of the PVD cast. Well, you can get in touch with me a couple different ways. First, you can find me on Twitter. My personal Twitter handle is at PVDMVP. You can also leave me a message over on the Facebook page or the Instagram page of this podcast. Simply look for at PVDcast. And maybe you want to send me a little bit of a longer correspondence. You can do that by just simply shooting me an email, johnorlando@pvdcast.com. And don't forget that this podcast is available at pvdcast.com, the online home of yours truly, and also through all the major podcast networks such as Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher Radio, iHeartRadio, Deezer, Google Podcasts. Basically, go to your favorite platform, type in the search bar PVDcast. Sometimes you have to put John Orlando after it, and you're sure to find it. And please don't forget to rate, review, and subscribe. Rating and reviewing helps me out in the algorithm. And of course, subscribing means you never miss a single episode of the PVD cast. And don't forget about the live broadcast every Monday night at 8 p.m. through the Facebook page of the PVD cast. All right, with that being said, ladies and gentlemen, I'm going to get on out of here. I thank you for checking out the episode, and I will chat at each and every one of you later. Stay righteous, stay independent. Stay safe and healthy. Following has been a production of John Orlando Enterprises, LLC, copyright 2020.